2004 Salt Lake Sunstone Symposium presents Session 373, 50,000 Malnourished LDS Children. How can we help? A panel featuring Brad Walker, Polly Sheffield, Warner P. Woodworth, Sandra Hernandez, Teresa Fuentes, and Gladys Guerrero.
Working in Linden, Utah, she has four kids. She wrote a revised version of the original study, Moving Zion Southward, that was published in Dialogue that was reviewed by a couple of members of the Quorum of the Twelve, so we're going to just let her go ahead.
All right, I'm just going to talk for a little bit briefly about the paper that was in Dialogue, and then we'll have some other presenters talk further about projects that are occurring currently relative to this. And the paper was entitled Spreading Zion Southward, but we could maybe more appropriately even include that Spreading Zion to less developed countries, including places such as the Philippines, Africa, other places that have similar circumstances. All of us are aware of issues around global malnutrition. I think we see ads for UNICEF. But if we look at the numbers published by the World Health Organization, there are 50 million total deaths per year secondary to malnutrition, and 10 million of those deaths occur in children under the age of 15. If we move that closer to home among church members, we would estimate that there are 375 active members living in absolute poverty, which means less than $1.25 per day. And of those, 50,000 are children who are malnourished, and we estimate 900 preventable deaths occur per year among children less than 15 years of age. The major causes of death and disability among people living in poverty worldwide are tuberculosis, childhood pneumonia, diarrhea, malaria, malnutrition, and complications of pregnancy and childbirth. Now, this is important to note because most of these are easily preventable. In fact, 50% of these deaths are preventable with simple interventions such as food supplements or antibiotics. In some cases, also, you would need oral rehydration therapy for children who have infectious diseases. In Ecuador, in the Cuenca State, a study was done, and some people are going to talk more about that who are working on the ground there, among church members in the Cuenca State the year 2000. If we look at the list of deaths here, you can see that the majority of deaths, once again, are caused by infectious diseases preventable either by immunizations or antibiotic therapy or, as I said, food supplementation. And the study also looked at children aged 1 to 14 years in two stakes in Guayaquil, Ecuador. And these numbers, I think, are very significant. These are some of the poorest areas in that country. But so greater than 80% of the children had low weight for height. So this is a measure of what we would call in the United States failure to thrive. So this can occur rather rapidly. But the second number, 70% with low height for age, is a marker for chronic malnutrition. And important to note is that children don't recover very well from this after the age of 2 years. 60% of children had anemia and 80% had parasitic infections. And these were all members, children in the church of active families. What are the effects of malnutrition? Poor growth and stunting. There's delayed mental and motor development, which then leads to poor school performance and reduced intellectual achievement. And then finally, as we look further into adult life, there's decreased work capacity and decreased economic productivity. And we can put this together in something that I just termed the cycle of poverty, so that a child who's malnourished, particularly early in life or even in utero, goes on to have growth stunting, which leads to decreased brain growth, which leads to delayed development. This is largely irreversible at some point, so we don't necessarily, those children will not recover, and particularly in less developed countries where they may not have the resources we have here to help them recover. So that leads to decreased school performance and then that reduced work capacity that we talked about. The cycle continues as they have more children who once again enter into that cycle of poverty. I'm not very good with computers. And interestingly, as we look at this cycle, I think there are many places one could say, let's see where we can cause impact here. And the church has looked at the cycle to some extent, and we have programs such as the Perpetual Education Fund, which I think is a great program. But if we look where we can affect most greatly the development of people would be to affect that at the level of early childhood and pregnant women with malnutrition. Because those children that are affected by malnutrition will not go on to a point where they are probably eligible for something such as the Perpetual Education Fund. They won't have the capacity to be involved in such a program. This is a quote from Nutrition Bulletin. It says, "The prevention of low birth weight and the promotion of adequate growth and development during early childhood will result in healthier, more productive adults. Such investments, because they build human capital, are best viewed as long-term economic strategies." And another quote here that points out that it's kind of the cycle we talked about, that people who have malnourishment go on to have children who are likewise afflicted as them, either because of in utero growth failure or just that continuation of malnutrition within the family. Looking at the welfare system, we estimated that total cash welfare donations, mainly through FAST offering funds, were $400 million. Of this money, $133 is spent per capita on faithful church members in wealthy countries, $5 per faithful church member in less developed countries, and in the poorest congregations, only 30 cents per faithful member. So a large discrepancy in amount of spending in each area. And why is this occurring? We can kind of look at the principles of the welfare system, which was set up as a system based in U.S. society or in more developed countries. And it was based on the principles of self-reliance. So individuals are supposed to be self-reliant. Then they turn to their family next if they need further aid, and then they turn to the church and then to the government. And this system doesn't work quite as well in poorest areas because there aren't resources usually within the family, and the church doesn't offer those resources either. There's also a problem the government may not offer resources either to back up families who have problems. Second principle was you work for what you get. So when the welfare system operates in the United States, you can receive donations from the church, but you're expected to put in some kind of effort back into it. Not dollar for dollar, of course, but to show some effort back. Welfare was meant to be temporary. You kind of had help and then you were expected to move on. And then lastly was this concept of sacrifice of temporal assets. And this concept would be that in your own stake you would help each other, other people. As we talk a little further, that causes a problem in poorest areas because there's not a lot of resources for people to help each other with the most basic needs. So certainly they could help each other in other ways if basic needs are met in terms of nutrition. So concerns of the paper addressed in that with the current welfare system are inequitable distribution. As we saw that there's a wide disparity between people living in wealthy countries and those in poorer countries and what they receive. Inefficient distribution is a concern in that there are not necessarily guidelines in place to determine how that money is spent. So questions that arise are examples of this would be if a member applied to the bishop for, let's say, for housing payment for a month in the United States, that could cost thousands of dollars. Could that money be used more efficiently to help members in less developed countries to have food? And would that be a better use of those same funds? Other concerns that have been addressed in different conferences, talks, are the question of self-sufficiency in the poorest ward and stakes. And the idea being that it's good for people to help each other, and I think that we would all agree that's the case, but basic needs probably need to be met in those areas. Other concerns are the issue of governmental nets. In wealthy countries, we often have security systems in place for those who do not have, for people who may lose their jobs or not have adequate nutrition. In poor countries, that often is not the case. There are not governmental programs that can assist those people. Another concern we addressed was the lack of church-wide monitoring. And in the paper, there's a quote by President Kimball who says that he's not worried about people in the church being willing to meet people's needs, but just that they may not know that those needs exist. And one of our purposes, I think, is to do actually an assessment and say there are people in the church who have needs. And if once that's measured, what can we do to change that and measure again and see if we're improving? Without measurement, we can't really do that. And then lastly, another concern that is raised as we address these issues is that of economic conversion. We don't want Rice Mormons, is a quote sometimes you may hear. And I think that could be a concern, but as Brad will talk, he'll talk about programs where I think that's less of a concern. And it probably already happens even here in the United States that there are those who are converted based on the possibility of money from the system. And then finally, just this kind of poignant quote, I think, a situation in which the poor are donated to the poor will never alleviate conditions such as malnutrition and premature death or disability in less developed countries. So our hope is through this program, for looking at this, that we can find ways better to meet the basic needs of people living in less developed countries. I guess I'm supposed to introduce my brother, Brad Walker. So he's the author of the paper, and he is also a physician and also a public health doctor living in Las Vegas currently.
I'm going to discuss the proposed intervention package from the Moving Zion South study. 80% of the health differential between poor and rich nations is really due to eight conditions. Six of the eight are infectious diseases. TB, malaria, we kind of went through this. The other two are reproductive health. Solving most of these problems would cost $13 to $15 a year per person. And then I'm going to skip down to the next one. We've got to hurry up a little bit. This amounts to one penny out of every $10 of the gross national product in rich countries. This is a quote from Jeffrey Sachs relating to the world global situation for non-members and members. But it's kind of interesting. If you look at the total amount of money the church is receiving, we should be able to systematically eliminate childhood malnutrition for about one penny out of every $10 donated to the church. Proposed intervention package, organize a group of local volunteer professional LDS members to assist malnourished children. We have a group that's come today that's actually doing this down in Guayaquil. For a couple of hundred kids, that's all the funding that's allowed so far. It's cost about $70 per child per year using LDS volunteers in foreign countries to eliminate malnutrition in the children. Second, solicit financial donations from ex-missionaries in the U.S. from that specific geographic area or alternatively from LDS welfare funds. For the kids down in Ecuador, we did send out a group email. A lot of the old missions have group email lists, and we had, I sent it out to about 1,500 people, and I got about 50 responses. So it wasn't a real good response rate, but of course we're a quasi, at best, church organization, so it's pretty hard to get people to donate to something that's unofficial. But so I put that up there, but that's kind of, it's harder to get money than it looks like. Identify malnourished children and women in childbearing years via growth monitoring and anemia blood test. Number four, provide food supplements or nutrientes in Latin America. Now, nutrientes aren't food. This is not food the kids get. These are fabricated. They're manufactured products. They don't taste like food. They don't taste as good as food. They get a daily ration. What they're getting right now is a little bit of oatmeal that has a bunch of micronutrients thrown into it that they eat every day, plus a biscuit that is a soybean and wheat biscuit with a bunch of protein in it. We were going to bring someone to let everybody eat one today, but we didn't have a visa in time. They gave them a visa, and they had to leave like 6 hours later. The two that are sitting up here that are going to speak after me. So they were lucky to even make it here. If it hadn't been for Orrin Hatch's office helping, they wouldn't be here, I don't think. So they just didn't have time to get the nutritional supplements, but we did want to give everybody a chance to eat one. But it's not food, and it doesn't have much diversion potential to adults. Unlike the regular welfare system where you would give someone rice and beans and then they could give it to anybody they wanted to or sell it, nobody wants to eat these things unless they're malnourished pretty much. And maybe if we get up here another year, I'll bring one for anybody who wants to try to eat one can try it out. Provide medical consultation referral services, treatment for acute infection illnesses only if local health services fail to adequately cover such via local volunteers, such as vaccination, pneumonia, diarrhea, tuberculosis. There is a doctor who is actually doing that service right now in Guayaquil. She's going to speak in a second for the kids in the program. Number six, continue to monitor growth and anemia status of women in childbearing years and malnourished children. In most of Latin America and the Philippines, we don't really need to provide medical services. The government has places they can go and get a diagnosis. What they need sometimes is just help buying the medicine for whatever health condition they have. That isn't true, though, in Africa and India are some of the areas we're moving into in our missionary work right now. Cost of program, I said $70 per person a year. The global cost of the program for all malnourished LDS kids depends on how you define the population you're going to serve. It could be as low as 5 million. It could be as high as 33 million. And talking about the cost of the program, we had initially estimated it would cost about $100 per person year in the per child year in the Moving Zion Southward study. Like I said, in Guayaquil, we're doing it for about $70 a person year, so that estimate was a little bit too high. Benefit of program, alleviation of malnutrition of 50,000 children, avoidance of 900 deaths annually, and avoidance of 2,000 cases of significant disability annually, other than that due to chronic malnutrition. Chronic malnutrition causes disability in anybody who undergoes it. Now, it's kind of interesting that there was, I don't know if it was in response to the Moving Zion Southward study, but the church did expand the welfare system down in Ecuador, and they threw a couple of $100,000 into it. But the attempt didn't go well because instead of systematically identifying the kids in need, instead the money was just given to the bishops, and they all started fighting over who could get how much of it, and all the adults were coming to the bishop and saying, "Can I have some of that?" And one of the big advantages of this kind of program is you can't get in it unless you're malnourished. I mean, you come in to see the doctor, you show up, they take your blood, they weigh you, they measure you, and you say, "You're malnourished, you need help, we're going to give it to you." And Teresa, when she gets up here, Teresa Fuentes, who is running the foundation there, when she sees a kid and she's had plenty of people come in and say, "I want help for my kids," and she takes their blood, measures them and weighs them and says, "You aren't malnourished, you don't need any help." A lot of the parents say, "Well, I still want the help for my kids." She goes, "Look, mother, you're doing a great job. Your kid looks fine. Just keep doing whatever you're doing. They don't need any help." So that would be an advantage of this program compared to the welfare system. And the idea was that this program would work underneath the welfare system. I mean, the bishops in the United States don't worry about whether their kids are dying because they can't eat. They don't worry that their kid can't see the doctor when they're sick. So the bishops are fine doing this kind of transient help for people who have an acute crisis in their life when they're an adult, but they can't do it for malnourished kids. It would have to be a professional organization that would do it. And I just talked about some of the problems here in the Bishop Storehouse project. It got canceled, and they're trying to re-expand it again, although it's supposed to start up again in Guayaquil. It's in Quito right now, but it's supposed to start up again in September, I think, right, Teresa? September? Yeah. There was too much demand or competition for the money. Some of the product was diverted to adults. The bishops were pressured to give money to anybody, you know, by the members who would come in to see them. There was a lot of transportation issues. They couldn't get the food staples. These were food staples, not food supplements that I talked about, to the members. They really didn't reach most of the malnourished children with anything at all, in spite of the spending of $200,000 a year. They had a lot of trouble instituting the work program. And instead of using food supplements, as I said, they use food staples. It's hard to treat a malnourished kid with food staples. You can't give them enough rice and beans to really get them better. You have to give them meat. And the program had no meat product in it, no protein source. So even if they'd managed to get the products to the kids, they wouldn't have had enough protein in them to really alleviate the malnutrition issue. Compared to the regular welfare package, which this is meant to work underneath, is professionally administered, has objective qualification, systematic identification of the needy, high impact on death and disability, low potential for diversion of assistance, and low potential for economic conversions. And the reason that it has a low potential for economic conversions is just because the product itself, it's hard to talk the parents into using it even when the kids need it. I mean, a lot of people probably wouldn't get baptized, at least in Latin America and the Philippines, to get access to food supplements. Comparing the package to other things, church welfare, we've compared it to church welfare. U.S. welfare, it really doesn't resemble U.S. welfare in any way. I mean, there's no cash assistance, there's no shelter assistance, there's no housing assistance, there's no clothing assistance, there's no requirement for spousal separation. It has nothing to do with the U.S. welfare program. However, it does look a lot like the WIC program, the Women, Infant, and Children program, where women will go in and get essentially nutritional supplementation for themselves and their children. And that's a federal program that's been pretty successful, much less expensive than the welfare system. It doesn't rely at all on donation of goods from the United States. There's no need to have to ship things from the United States. The food supplements are all manufactured locally and can be purchased there. The church tried to send down some food staples to Ecuador. I think it was in either 1999 or 2000, and the government stole about $1 million worth of the food supplements. And they haven't made another attempt to send any, you know, thing of value down there through the aduana system. So really, the key is to send money and let people buy things down there. It's not that expensive. When you try to start shipping goods, you're asking for trouble. And the fly-in volunteer projects, this doesn't really need U.S. labor or labor from wealthy countries in any way. It can be done with people who live locally. I mean, certainly it's good to have a volunteer program for people who would like to volunteer from wealthy countries, but it doesn't rely on that. It doesn't really require it in any way. Criticisms of the intervention package. When I first started doing this, there was a lot of resistance that the problem didn't really exist at all in Latin America. That's kind of died down now. Even up at church, in the church welfare office, a lot of people just said there is no problem. The cost estimates I've discussed, the logistic difficulties, some people have said it's impossible to really do something in less developed countries. But if you go down there, there's organizations from other religions operating in every country we work in. So there really isn't a logistic difficulty that can't be overcome and hasn't been overcome by somebody else. Assistance directed to LDS kids. That was in the newspaper and the Salt Lake Tribune article that just came out. You know, we run a parallel system. We have a humanitarian fund and we have a welfare or fast offering fund that's for our membership. Although this is discussing the angle from the welfare, certainly I think it's a good idea to combine that with the humanitarian fund and have some assistance for non-LDS kids. The Adventists, for example, have a great Adventist Development and Relief Agency that helps out non-members of their church. There's no reason that our humanitarian fund couldn't do something similar, but we would have to get organized on the ground a little bit better. Right now, we don't really do anything. We just funnel our money through somebody else. We don't really have our own operating humanitarian organization that works on the ground in less developed countries. Article number 5 is charitable work should be done local or spend money where donated. When Moving Zion Southward was published, there was an article, an editorial that came out in the Church News that promoted the idea that charitable work should be done locally. And it's not that I disagree that most charitable work should be done locally. It's that everybody should at least have some minimal standard. I mean, if we're going to take hundreds of millions of dollars in donations and say we're going to help malnourished kids and then not to do it, it just doesn't quite make sense. You have to prioritize some and give everybody a minimum standard. We aren't going to have, you know, people in the United States, for example, getting help with their house payment of $3,000 a month while we have a kid starving because they can't come up with 70 bucks a year. So it's really kind of an irrational argument at its best. Number 6 is promote spiritual growth among the saints. That was something in a talk by Glenn Pace where he, in 1993 at BYU, he talked about he wanted to promote spiritual growth among the members, and the only way to do that was to have them serve each other. And he's right, but he also said in the same paper, you know, there's some standard, a minimum standard above which nobody should fall. So if we keep people above a minimum standard, we wouldn't really have problems with number 6. So it's hard to say what the church's position is on that one. Economic conversions. You can go to two extremes. I mean, you can have the extreme that we currently have. We solicit funds to help malnourished kids. We get a huge amount of money. $500 million is a lot of money, which is what we're spending in welfare. We say we're going to use it to help them, then we don't help them. That's what we're currently doing. You could go to the other extreme and say, we're going to give away food staples to everybody who asks for them. We'll have tens of thousands of people getting baptized so they can get access to our welfare program. Well, what you look for is something in the middle. We're going to make sure that we don't have malnourished kids or kids that are dying because they can't see the doctor, and we're going to put enough requirements on their parents so they don't get baptized to get access to the program. You know, you make them pay tithing. You make them attend church. Is that enough? Probably in Latin America and the Philippines. But if it's not enough, there's other things you could do. You could make them participate in a work program. I asked Warner to discuss that today, Warner Woodworth, of what, you know, he could see that could be used to help a self-sufficiency part of this campaign. But I don't think you just abandon the kids because you're concerned that there might be economic conversions. You have to find a way in the middle ground where people won't get baptized for the wrong reason, but at the same time, you don't leave the kids starving. And this is some quotes we already talked about. This was Dallin Oaks' 2003 conference address, the bottom one, where since the Moving Zion Southward study had discussed the issue of poor people paying tithing, I mean, they would pay tithing and their kids would just be more malnourished. That was discussed in the second quote there, just to kind of give some emphasis to this concern over economic conversions that the church has. And that was also in the Salt Lake Tribune article. Polly read this. It probably won't cost the church money to take... I'm sorry, I went through that one so quick. It probably won't cost the church money to help malnourished kids. I mean, if you increase their economic potential as adults, you'll probably get it back in tithing. And these are some quotes from the World Health Organization or similar documents discussing that. But if you help the kids when they're young, they'll produce a lot more money as adults. So I don't think it should be seen as an expense even. It is an investment. Okay, and this was the last quote from the original study, or from the postscript to Moving Zion Southward book. For the foreseeable future, my concern remains that unless and until we change our approach, no matter how generous LDS members are in their fast offering contributions, the church will have millions of members attending its Sunday services who possess the greatest material wealth ever witnessed in human history, simultaneously with tens of thousands of starving, malnourished children. Okay, and our next speaker is Teresa Fuentes. Teresa has done thousands of hours of work with malnourished kids. She's never paid herself a dime. He said, I don't know how much longer I can keep taking care of this. But maybe she can keep going. We'll see. Oh, Teresa served a couple of missions. She's a temple worker. She has a degree in family education.
Buenas tardes a todos. Yo estoy muy, muy agradecida por estar aquí. Realmente sé que estoy aquí con la mano de Dios. Estoy agradecida.
Good afternoon, everyone. I really feel very grateful to be here today, and I know that I've been able to come through the Lord's intervention.
Estoy agradecida a agradezco a las personas que han hecho posible que nosotros estemos aquí.
And I'd like to thank the people that have made it possible for us to be here.
No está escuchando.
You can't hear me?
Which one can't you hear?
Ahí, ya.
Yeah. Is that better?
Ya.
Okay.
Estoy muy agradecida a todos los que han hecho posible este programa y que estemos aquí nosotros. Quiero en este momento presentar a lo que es FAUN y el programa de nutrición. FAUN es una institución.
Deme un tiempito. She needs to give me a break, Erin, so I can say what she just said. She's grateful to be here today and would like to present now the organization FAUM, as they call it, which is the Foundation of Humanitarian Aid.
Es una fundación sin fines de lucro y también quiero hablar un poco del proyecto de nutrición en el que estamos, con el que estamos trabajando.
And I'd also like to explain the program of nutrition that we're working with.
Yeah. FAUN atiende a 200 niños en el programa de nutrición y 80 niños que no pertenecen al área de salud o nutrición.
FAUN currently is helping 200 children and 80 children who are not being helped for nutritional reasons.
Nosotros comenzamos con este programa de nutrición hace como unos 6 años.
We started with this nutritional program about 6 years ago.
Y para nosotros fue muy, muy, muy duro, muy difícil. Y en todo este tiempo para poder llegar a lo que en lo que estamos ahora.
And it was very hard. It was very difficult to get to this point where we are today.
Sí. Nosotros vimos la necesidad de hacer este programa y de trabajar con los niños porque vimos que en la iglesia hay niños desnutridos, hay mucha necesidad.
We wanted to begin working with the children because we saw children that really needed help within the church with their nutrition because they were malnourished.
Yo fui una misionera. He hecho misión 2 veces y siempre estoy queriendo hacer más por las personas y yo vi que no podía hacer algo afuera sino por nuestros niños, los niños de la iglesia.
I've served 2 missions. Change that on me. I've served 2 missions and it never seemed to be enough and I want to continue helping and I think the best place to help is through the children in the church.
No es fácil ver a un niño cuando tiene la necesidad de la necesidad, tiene el derecho de tener salud, de estar bien y de poder tener una fortaleza física.
It's hard to see a child with needs because they have a right to health and to food.
Nosotros hemos trabajado en este programa de nutrir a estos 200 niños por medio de del programa de nutrición, que es donando un nutriente que ya vamos a ver en el en un video más adelante, que es darle un pan que es de banana, soya y trigo, y también los micronutrientes, y hacer un programa de parasitación.
We have worked with these 200 children in their nutritional program by providing them with a kind of bread that is made out of bananas, soy, and wheat, and other micronutrients that have been put into that product.
Como vamos a ver más adelante el video, va a ser más, van a ver ustedes ahí realmente lo que es este programa. Quiero decirles que hay el trabajo que se está haciendo, hermanos, es con las con coordinadoras, que son las mismas, hay madres y que están ayudando en esto.
And we'll see more about the program in a video that we'll show you shortly. And the people that work with it,
ellos,
¿cómo es? ¿Es un madre?
¿Cómo?
Oh, the coordinators, it's, the program functions with coordinators who in part are parents, the mothers of these children.
Este programa, hermanos, requiere de muchos recursos, ¿ya? Nosotros como fundación, como FAUM, estamos trabajando, hacemos todo lo que nosotros podemos, pero tenemos la población, estamos con los niños ahí, pero nosotros no podemos hacer mucho porque los recursos no los tenemos.
This program really needs a lot of resources. At FAUM we do everything we can, but the need is great, and really most of the problem is the lack of resources.
Nosotros estamos trabajando con el grupo de los niños del sur de Guayaquil.
We're working with a group of children from the south of Guayaquil.
Que son los Guasmo, Malvinas y Trinitarias. Son sectores en los que están las personas más pobres, los sectores marginales.
And the marginal sectors where the poorest people live.
Con estos niños estamos, en este lugar estamos trabajando con 200 niños.
And in those parts we are working with the 200 children.
Pero tenemos la parte del oeste y el norte en la que también tenemos la misma situación.
But in the north and the east we face the same situation.
Tienen la misma necesidad.
There are the same needs.
Es el mismo problema de la desnutrición.
The same problem of malnutrition.
Nosotros estamos trabajando para poder llegar a más niños.
And we're working to be able to reach more children.
Este es un programa, hermanos, de acción. Tal vez no sea muy buena para hablar y para decir las cosas, pero quiero decirles que la acción, la forma en como nosotros lo hacemos, como estando ahí en el lugar, yendo a los sectores, trabajando con ellos, andando con ellos, esto es lo que nosotros queremos hacer, esto es lo que nosotros, a lo menos en este momento que estamos aquí, pedimos la ayuda.
This is a program of action. I may not be very good at speaking, but we go to these different sectors and we walk with the children, we test them, we talk with them, and that's why we've come here, because it's a program of action and we need your help.
Como les dije al comienzo, fue muy difícil.
As I said in the beginning, it has been difficult.
Nosotros no hemos tenido la ayuda de ningún lado.
We haven't received help from anywhere.
Pedimos la ayuda de la iglesia por el programa de bienestar.
We have asked the church for help through the welfare program.
Pero ellos dijeron que los niños de la iglesia no necesitaban.
But they told us that the children of the church don't need it.
Que ellos estaban bien.
That they are okay.
Después pedimos la ayuda de los misioneros retornados, de un grupo de misioneros retornados.
Then we asked a group of returned missionaries for help.
Ellos dijeron que tenían una manera de ayuno y que no nos podían ayudar.
They said that they weren't able to help us.
Después pedimos también la ayuda de los líderes locales.
Then we asked the local leaders for help.
Y ellos nos dijeron que no nos metamos y que no trabajemos en esto.
And they told us to keep out of it and to not work with that kind of thing.
Un presidente de estaca me dijo, hermana, no ayude a los hermanos.
One stake president told me, sister, don't help these people.
Pero yo les dije, seguiré adelante, yo ayudaré a mis hermanos.
But I decided to continue and to help my brothers and sisters.
Y aquí estoy, hermanos, y seguiré ayudando a estos niños que son los hijos de nuestro Padre Celestial y son mis hermanos.
So here I am, and I will continue to help these children who are Heavenly Father's children and who are our brothers and sisters.
Y seguiré adelante, y yo sé, estoy segura de que tendré la ayuda.
I'm sure that I will receive help
de los hermanos miembros de este lugar.
From members in this area.
Porque yo sé que ellos fueron un día misioneros.
Because I know that one day they were missionaries too.
En Guayaquil.
En Guayaquil.
Y yo sé que aman a esta tierra y a esta gente.
And I know that they love that country and the people.
De antemano agradezco a todos los que ya están ayudando.
I'd like to thank beforehand all those who are already helping.
Y a los que yo sé que en el futuro seguirán ayudando a esta buena causa.
And those who in the future will help this good cause.
Que Dios nos bendiga, hermanos, en esta obra que estamos haciendo.
I ask the Lord to bless us in this work that we're
doing. Por estos niños.
In behalf of these children.
Espero que con la parte que viene del video y lo que va a hablar la doctora.
I hope that through the video and through what the doctor is going to tell us.
Podamos sentir.
We can feel.
Lo que el Señor quiere que sentamos.
What the Lord wants us to feel.
Porque es una situación en que más que pensar es de sentir.
Because this is a situation in which we, and besides thinking, above all, we need to feel.
Gracias, hermanos, por este momento y por haberme escuchado.
Thank you for this time and for listening to me.
Buenas tardes, público presente. Estoy agradecida por poder estar aquí para hablar con ustedes acerca de los niños desnutridos de Ecuador. Soy la doctora Sandra Hernández.
Good afternoon. I'm happy to be here this afternoon and to be able to present this information to you. My name is Sandra Hernández.
En la Fundación FAUN hemos realizado un estudio acerca de la desnutrición localizada en Guayaquil, en los sectores marginales de esta ciudad.
In the Foundation FAUN, we have done a study that in the marginal sectors of the city of Guayaquil.
De un total de 314 niños examinados, hemos encontrado que 200 de estos niños, que corresponde al 63.7%, se encuentran en estado de desnutrición.
Among 314 children that we have tested, we found that 200 of those are malnourished.
Podemos observar en la pantalla el porcentaje, que corresponde a más del 50%.
These children are members of the church.
He clasificado los grados de desnutrición en leve, moderada y grave.
There are three degrees of malnutrition: slight, moderate, and severe.
Vemos que la mayoría de los casos se encuentran en desnutrición leve.
We see that the majority of cases are among the light malnutrition.
Luego, los he clasificado por grupos de edades y vemos que la mayor incidencia se encuentra en los mayores de 5 años, es decir, en los niños que se encuentran en edad escolar.
And then I've classified them according to age, and we can see that the majority of malnourished children are older than 5 years, or in other words, they're school age children.
Correspondiendo esto a un 67%.
A total of 67%.
Luego encontramos en desnutrición moderada 18 casos de niños menores de 5 años, que es la mayor incidencia con un 75%.
In the case of moderate malnutrition though, the majority of cases is in children under 5 years old, 75%.
Y nos apena mucho haber encontrado niños con desnutrición grave, que corresponde a 4 casos.
And we are sad to have found children with severe malnutrition, and there were 4 cases among this group of children.
En niños menores de 5 años.
And they were all children under 5 years old.
Quiero decirles que este grupo es el que está más propenso a tener la complicación más grave, que es la muerte.
I'd like to tell you that this group is the most likely to have severe complications, which would be death.
Entre las complicaciones más frecuentes que hemos encontrado en estos niños son las poliparasitosis en un 80% y la anemia en un 54%.
The most frequent complications we have found in these children is an 80% of polyparasitosis and 54% anemia.
Vemos que estas son las causas por las cuales los niños llegan a la desnutrición.
These are the primary causes why children are malnourished.
A esto llegan por la falta de recursos económicos, porque esta gente vive en una pobreza muy extrema.
And the reason they get to this point is the lack of economic resources because of the poverty they live in.
También se encuentran inadecuadamente nutridos.
And they're not adequately nourished.
Y por la falta de los recursos económicos de sus padres, no pueden tener acceso a antiparasitarios y a vitaminas.
And because of their parents' economic situation, they don't have access to medications to get rid of parasites or to vitamins.
Las consecuencias a la cual lleva esta desnutrición es al retraso y detención del crecimiento normal del niño.
The consequences of this malnutrition is the delay of normal growth.
Al retraso del desarrollo psicomotriz.
And a delay in the psychomotor development.
Al retraso de la pubertad.
A delay in puberty.
Y finalmente pueden llegar a la muerte.
And ultimately death.
Si nosotros descuidamos a estos niños y no le damos la ayuda que necesitan, vamos a tener seres que no pueden desarrollar ni crecer normalmente.
If we fail to help these children, we'll have adults later, persons who will not be able to develop normally and will have a whole series of problems.
No podrán rendir normalmente en sus escuelas.
They won't be, their schoolwork will be suffering. They won't be able to develop intellectually.
Tampoco lo harán en la iglesia.
And they won't progress much in the church.
Ni en ninguna actividad que ellos quisieran realizar.
Or any activity that they choose.
En cuanto al tratamiento que nosotros estamos dando en la fundación, están los antiparasitarios.
Among the treatments that we give in the foundation are the medications for parasites.
one of the main causes of malnutrition.
También le estamos dando antianémicos, principalmente el hierro.
We also try to treat anemia mostly through iron.
Porque encontramos también un alto porcentaje de anemia.
Because there also is a high percentage of anemia in these children.
Otras cosas de las que le ofrecemos son las vitaminas del complejo B.
And we offer the vitamin B complex.
El suplemento nutricional que gracias a la ayuda de unos hermanos que viven en este país están recibiendo este suplemento los niños.
And other nutritional supplements that thanks to some people here in this country we are able to give to these children.
También estamos educando a las madres que van a la consulta.
We're also educating the mothers who come to see us.
Sobre nutrición.
On different aspects of nutrition.
Aprovechar los nutrientes que hay en su medio.
They need to learn to take advantage of the nutrients that are available for them.
Y buscarlos de menor costo.
And find those who are the least expensive.
Y que sean accesibles para ellos.
And hopefully they can afford them and learn to feed their children adequately.
Aquí hay un estudio comparativo sobre la desnutrición en nuestra ciudad principalmente y lo que hemos encontrado en nuestra fundación.
This is a comparison between our study and another study that has been done in Guayaquil.
Yeah. Vemos que el porcentaje es similar al encontrado a nivel de la ciudad y al de nuestros niños.
The results are very similar. They have found it's approximately the same percentage of malnourished children as we have.
Superior al 63%.
A little over 63%.
También vemos allí en la pantalla un estudio comparativo sobre la anemia en Guayaquil y las edades en las cuales se encuentra dividida.
And this study divides these children in age groups.
Y vemos que el grupo de los escolares es el que tiene un mayor porcentaje.
The highest percentage of 53% is among school age children.
Aquí también vemos un gráfico de que la anemia ferropénica es la más frecuente.
And this graphic shows us that anemia for because of the lack of iron is the most frequent kind of anemia.
Y se encuentra en un porcentaje superior al 50%.
And the percentage is slightly over 50%. The 50% is what all over Ecuador and the other studies from FAUN.
Aquí vemos una lista de los niños que están siendo favorecidos con el programa de nutrición en FAUN.
This is a list of children who are receiving benefits from the foundation.
Encontramos que niños que han entrado con desnutrición principalmente en el número 7, si pueden observarlo, un niño entró con desnutrición grave.
If we can look at number 7, for example, this boy came to us with severe malnutrition.
Y ha progresado a desnutrición leve.
And he has progressed to just slight malnutrition.
Y así hay muchos casos que están mejorando su condición.
And like him, there are many cases who have improved their situation.
Esperamos que estos niños sigan mejorando su condición para que tengan una calidad de vida mejor.
And we hope that these children can continue to improve their condition so that they can have quality of life.
Y esperamos también de la sensibilidad de todas las personas que puedan ayudar a estos niños.
And we also hope for many people that will be able to help these children.
Gracias.
Thank you. Thank you.
Buenas tardes al público presente. Les habla la doctora Gladys Guerrero. Yo soy de la ciudad de Cuenca, Ecuador. Es la sierra de un clima muy frío, 12 a 20 grados centígrados. Esta es mi ciudad, parecida al Lago Salado.
Good afternoon. I'm Gladys Guerrero, and I'm from Cuenca, Ecuador, which is in the mountainous area of Ecuador, where it's fairly cold, between 12 and 20 degrees centigrade. This is my city.
Sí, esta es mi ciudad, muy parecida a la de ustedes, con una temperatura baja. Tenemos muchos lagos fríos con agua dulce y también tenemos ríos que cruzan la ciudad y nuestros campos.
This is my city. It looks similar to the area here, really. The temperatures are a little lower, and we have many lakes and rivers. There are some rivers that flow through our city.
Hemos hecho el estudio nutricional de un grupo de niños de la iglesia en nuestra ciudad.
And we have done a study on the nutritional status of a group of children in our city.
Hemos cogido en forma aleatoria un grupo de 250 niños, de los cuales hemos encontrado lo siguiente.
And we had 250 children who are members of the church, and this is what we found.
Hemos realizado un programa de salud preventiva.
We have started a program of
prevention. Hemos tomado datos antropométricos de peso, edad, talla.
The data that we have gathered are their weight, their age, and their height.
Un examen médico, sobre todo de la orofaringe.
And we have done a medical test. Medical exam.
Utilizamos estándares de crecimiento del Centro Nacional de Estadísticas de Salud de los Estados Unidos.
And we've used the U.S. growth chart to compare our results with.
Estos son una muestra de un grupo de niños.
These are some of the children we worked with.
Encontramos lo siguiente.
And these are our findings.
Un 60% de niños tienen un riesgo de desnutrición.
About 60% of the children are at risk for malnutrition.
Un 15% tienen una desnutrición leve.
About 15% suffer of slight malnutrition.
Una desnutrición moderada y desnutrición grave, un 5%.
And about 2.5% or 5% altogether, the moderate and severe malnutrition.
Pueden ver en forma gráfica.
This is a graphic that illustrates that.
También hemos hecho un estudio del estado nutricional por edad y peso de los niños de 6 a 12 años.
And this is a study we did for children between 6 and 12 years, based on age.
El 30% de estos niños tienen peso bajo.
30% of these children are underweight.
El 15.3% están desnutridos.
And 15.3% are malnourished.
Pueden ver los gráficos.
And this is the illustration to go along with those numbers.
Como conclusiones tenemos,
in conclusion,
en los menores de 5 años,
among children under 5 years old,
el 60% de la muestra estuvieron con riesgo de desnutrición.
There are 60% of those children are at risk for malnutrition.
Y el 20% estuvieron desnutridos.
And 20% actually suffer from malnutrition.
En los niños de 6 a 12 años,
among the children between 6 and 12 years of age,
el 30.7% estuvieron de peso bajo.
30.7% were underweight.
Y el 15.3% están en desnutrición.
And 15.3% malnourished.
En mi consultorio privado,
in my private practice,
una hermana de la iglesia,
one a member of the church,
llegó con uno de estos niños.
Came with one of these children.
Tenía 3 meses.
It was 3 months old.
Pesaba 4,000 gramos.
And weighed only 4,000 grams.
Su madre no podía darle la leche materna por problemas de salud.
The mother could not nurse him because of health problems.
El obispo le mandó a este niño para que reciba ayuda.
And the bishop had ordered this child to receive help.
Pero le ayudé con recursos propios.
But I helped with my own resources.
Ya que la iglesia no dispone de un presupuesto para estos casos.
Because the church really doesn't have a budget for this kind of cases.
Se le dio nutrición con fórmula infantil, como leche.
He received formula, baby formula.
Leche, yeah. Chantaro.
Milk, canned milk.
Y felizmente este niño salió adelante.
And fortunately he recovered.
Pero no sé cómo pasará el resto de su tiempo, porque me imagino que ya debe tener secuelas de tipo intelectual.
But I don't know what consequences this episode will have. He might suffer consequences intellectually at school and things like that.
Se investigó las causas de desnutrición.
These are causes of malnutrition.
Y se vio que el 95% de estos era por ingestión insuficiente de calorías y proteínas.
We found that 95% of the cases of malnutrition are caused by insufficient calories and proteins and other nutrients, essential nutrients.
Como recomendación o comentario.
As a recommendation or comment.
Al observar en la iglesia de Cuenca, Ecuador.
As we see in the within the church in Cuenca, Ecuador.
El problema de desnutrición infantil, me viene una tristeza.
When I see the problem of malnutrition in children, I feel very sad.
E impotencia muy grande.
And helpless.
Saber que dentro de la iglesia,
to know that within the church,
en donde predicamos el amor a nuestros semejantes,
where we talk about loving our neighbor,
exista estos problemas.
There are this sort of problems.
Si por la desnutrición el niño tiene menos intelecto,
if because of malnutrition the children suffer intellectual consequences later on,
¿qué clase de líderes tendremos en el futuro?
What kind of leaders will we have in the future?
¿Quiénes van a dirigir la iglesia?
Who will lead the church?
Queremos obtener niños como de la segunda imagen.
We'd like to see children like in the second picture.
La segunda imagen son niños vestidos con trajes típicos de mi ciudad.
These children are dressed in a typical attire of my city.
Y son los más nutridos.
And they are the best nourished.
A esto queremos llegar.
This is our goal.
Para lo cual pedimos la ayuda de ustedes.
And that's why we are here, to ask for help.
Para poder ayudar a nuestros niños.
To be able to help our children.
Gracias por vuestra atención.
Thank you for your attention.
Un paisaje de mi ciudad.
And this is another landscape from my city.
Gracias.
I'm going to now watch some video footage about Fahum. And this is all from Guayaquil.
¿Cuánto cuesta un nutriente a diario?
Por lo menos
No, nunca se daba plata en efectivo, siempre se compraba la canasta.
Pero eso ustedes compraban.
Claro,
yo estoy hablando con fondos de afuera.
No, nunca.
Nunca tuvieron fondos de afuera.
Thank you. Presidente Franklin Sánchez, presidente, ¿qué puede decir el programa? ¿Qué le puede decir? ¿Qué le puede decir usted? También es el grupo que también es posible esta ayuda para los niños. Así que tenemos un programa específicamente para los niños.
Vemos que muchos niños que están muy entusiasmados por participar se han visto beneficiados, que ellos están disfrutando estos alimentos que se les está dando. Sé de que muchos de ellos están viviendo mejor gracias a esto. Estamos contentos por esta labor, estamos contentos porque vemos los resultados. El mismo hecho de tener unido a todos los niños, yo creo que es una gran demostración de que hay mucha, además de que hay mucha necesidad, vemos también de que ellos necesitan, y los padres también están conscientes de que es también necesario preocuparnos por ellos, ¿no? Y es un buen índice para nosotros darnos cuenta de que hay muchas necesidades en los niños de la iglesia, pero muchas veces nosotros como líderes no vemos eso, más veces nos preocupamos de los adultos, pero los niños quizás los estamos relegando un poco, pero veo muchos niños que en verdad necesitan. Tengo entendido de que la mayoría de ellos había un análisis previo para ver la necesidad y realmente que iban aquellos que más necesitan. Entonces vemos que hay mucha necesidad en este sector y estamos agradecidos por poder.
Presidente, usted como el presidente de esta estaca, que está dispuesto a seguirnos apoyando, a seguir en esta labor que es ardua, ¿no? Necesitamos más que todo el apoyo de los hijos, que como líder de esta estaca, el padre prácticamente de aquí, de esta familia, de este barrio, quisiéramos saber qué. Si nos podría seguir ayudando,
por supuesto, estamos muy deseosos de que la Fundación nos siga colaborando, porque estamos haciendo algo muy bueno por los niños, muy bueno. Y yo creo que también la Iglesia está de acuerdo con eso, porque siempre nos ha pedido que podamos recibir colaboración de donde venga, ¿no? Y mucho más aquello que más bien este sector está bastante necesitado.
Nombre hermanita Patricia Sandoya. ¿Cómo reciben los clientes a sus niños?
Bueno, en el barrio, evidentemente, somos tres familias. Bueno, aquí estamos bastante contentos. Y básicamente, de gran ayuda, especialmente para los niños más jóvenes.
Yo también quiero agradecerles porque ustedes han puesto mucho interés en este programa y más que todo son cumplidos cuando nosotros les pedimos que lleven a los niños para hacer el control. Ustedes están atentos para ir el día que se necesitan y a la hora también. Les agradezco por eso y por su entusiasmo. Sé que ustedes están muy interesados y que sus niños aumenten en peso y talla, tanto que cuando yo les hago el control siempre me preguntan cuánto subió, cuánto aumentó de talla, y eso es importante, darnos cuenta que este programa está dando resultados, porque los niños están aumentando en peso y en talla, ¿no? Y eso es lo que nosotros queremos, que salgan de ese estado de depresión a un estado normal, que tengan una calidad de vida mejor. Sabemos que no es mejor, van a venir varios en escuelas, también incluso en iglesias, que van a poder captar mejor. Un niño que está bien nutrido, bien alimentado, tiene ese ánimo para hacer las cosas, la disciplina está siempre despierta, está en estado de alerta para poder captar las cosas que le enseñan, tanto en la escuela como en el colegio. Y quiero decirles que sigan adelante, que sigan llevando su niño al control, y que si todos ponemos nuestro hombro, este programa va a salir adelante, nos va a tener el futuro de ellos. Gracias.
Next speaking is Lorenzo Garecoa. He's been a stake president and a bishop twice in Ecuador. He's in a bishopric right now in the United States. He's a pediatrician, faculty of the medical school in Guayaquil for many years, ran the pediatric intensive care unit. And he's got some grown-up kids that are driving him crazy. Here, we'll let him go. How is he doing next time?
Okay, and because of the time, I want to be very short with my presentation and your patient. As Dr. Walker said, I was an intensive care pediatrician in Ecuador for almost 20 years. And a few years ago, I received these LDS children in my unit. I was in charge of the 16 beds in my unit. And this baby was from Manabí. And the father and the mother request my help, so I put the baby in my unit, and then I start requesting medicine and blood and many things for this child, and the problem start happening in that particular moment. Let me tell you something about Ecuador. In Ecuador, we have the same church, the same name. We had the same prophet, we had the same general authority, we had the same doctrine books, we had the same music, we had the same program in the sacrament meeting, but that's it. The rest of the programs of the church we don't have. We don't have a welfare system in our country, and the bishops are not allowed to have a checking account with them, so when they need something for their families in their wards, they had to go with the state president twice a month. Every couple of weeks, they had a meeting with the state president, and then the state president decide if the family is going to be dying or alive. And because I was a state president twice and a bishop twice, as Dr. Walker said, I was some kind of disappointed with the church, and finally I decided to leave the country and being here. With this particular child, as a doctor, I request help from the state president, and the president told me, I don't have any checking account right now with me. I run out all my checks, so he requests a new checking book, not from the bank, from the church in Quito. And we had to wait 3 days for the check in order to buy the medicine the baby was needing those days. And then after 3 days, finally the checking arrived in the mail when the baby was dead. So the church was able to pay the funeral of the baby and nothing more. That is the situation in Ecuador. We don't have a computer in our bishopric in order to take care of the tithing, as I am doing right now in Las Vegas every week. I take care of the tithing, and then we go to the bank and deposit the money and send all the information in a computer. We don't have telephone, we don't have computers, we don't have checking account in our bishopric. So we depend, I believe, from people like Teresa Fuentes and his foundation in order to help our children. And when you get an assistance from the state president, you are going to spend only $30 or $40. That's it. This is the maximum amount you can get from a state president. And depend how is the president doing in his mood that particular day when you request the money as a bishop. So it's some kind of frustration being a member and being a leader in South America. And I want to share this thing with all my appreciation for you for being here with us and paying attention to this sad news from another part of the children. I say this thing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We have a BYU professor that's our last presenter today, Warner Woodworth. He has a long involvement in issues of LDS populations and poverty. He's a BYU professor. He's very well known. We're grateful he came. I know he just got back from Guatemala. I actually saw him taking a nap during the presentation. So if we've got him back away, if everybody can bear with us, he's our last presenter today. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad. I first want to thank our friends and our brothers and sisters who've come here and shared their testimonies and their tears and their struggles regarding the challenges of the least of these. As I know this has been a long trip for you, and we appreciate your dedication, as well as Brad and Polly and others. And I, as you were talking, two scriptures came to mind. One was the great banquet, where they went out into the streets and brought the poor and the hungry in to feast at the meal of the Lord. And I thought, what would it take for us to do that with our children, especially the saints in the third world who struggle and suffer today? And the other, of course, was the scripture about whosoever offends the least of these infants, these children, better that a millstone be hanged around their necks and they be thrown into the sea. So I am here to kind of raise a generic question and call us to action. At least that's what I feel I should do. And I'm not sure if 50,000 is correct. I trust your numbers, but I think you're too conservative. I think it's more like 500,000 LDS kids around the globe to some degree are malnourished. And for sure, they live in very poor circumstances. Having just returned from taking an LDS group to Guatemala and working in villages with health care and literacy and microcredit and basic hunger, fighting hunger, and then having a team of BYU kids there for the summer doing it for 4 months, and seeing those tiny, malnourished indigenous children was very touching. So I'd like to, whether it's 50,000 or 50 or 500,000, I'd like to propose we do something today. So the first thing I'm going to commit to is, I just made a little sign-up sheet for us. I'd like to invite everyone who feels to do so to sign their name, their address, email, and write down an amount of money we can give to Fahum today. You recall Joseph once heard a man's plight who had nothing, and he was going on a mission, and everybody in the congregation said, "We feel real sorry for him." Joseph finally said, "You know, I feel so sorry for him. I feel $5 of sorrow for him." And he took out his wallet and made a donation. That's what I'm feeling. We could do something today for this group. The other thing I want to suggest or commit to in terms of my willingness to help our brothers and sisters in Ecuador is, if I can get these slides and stuff, I'll put together a team in my third world class this fall to develop a website and to improve the acoustics of the video and the PowerPoint stuff in English into some kind of a CD or DVD or something, I don't know. Because I have to do a project anyway. And I think it would be wonderful to prepare a package of material that you guys can use in Vegas, maybe they can use in Latin America. I give 2 or 3 firesides a week or Rotary Club speeches or whatever, and I'd be glad to take this around, some of this material, and share it and try to generate interest and donations. So those are a couple action things I'm imagining would be possible for me to do. I'm going to take 5 minutes here, speaking from passion rather than medical expertise or statistical analysis or research. And the reason for me passion is important is because as you folks talked and showed these pictures and told these stories, I could kept thinking of was not only every little child and malnourished baby in Africa or Asia or Latin America I've seen, but I adopted a Mexican daughter, a Brazilian son, both of whom were severely malnourished. When we adopted my son, he was 18 months old, living in an orphanage in Curitiba, Brazil. He couldn't stand up. He couldn't walk, of course. He couldn't talk. They gave him bread every day. That's about all he had. And I, being a social scientist, was convinced in terms of nature and nurture, well, it's nurture. We can fix all his problems. And we got him home from the orphanage, and we took his clothes off and his diaper to change it, and we saw he had surgical scars, and he had all kinds of marks on his skin from diseases they had assured me the child didn't have. So we took him to a pediatrician in Rio, where I lived at that time, and the pediatrician said, "You're crazy. You're a rich, white American. This child will never succeed in your society. This child is, if he'd stayed in Curitiba, he'd be dead by now, probably. Don't worry about it at all." But we took a chance, and we gave them the best education and medicine and nurturing we could. But the problems of that malnutrition stayed with our son and daughter. Neither one has been able to graduate from college. I got 10 kids, including triplets, gringo triplets. But those two have had a rough life, and they're going to continue to have a rough life. We've already talked about the numbers. I don't need to do that. I wasn't sure who would be presenting what here. How do I move this here? Where am I? Yeah.
I apologize. Just to let you know.
We got
to
go?
Yeah, we should have warned you a lot harder. The 16 was such a hard deadline.
Was break.
So if you can do what you can for one last minute, I
just
apologize.
What am I doing? Polly, what am I doing?
With round hands coming here, and your shirt apologize.
Yeah, see, I can't get that.